Begin the current daf and set this needed daf chavdal. Begin 11 lines down at the top of the amud. But the Gemara continues with the same amora, continue on the same theme of the previous daf regarding the topic of our parak, of our mishnah, of pelas, if someone miscarries something, if that has these two elements regarding dam nida, if there's blood over there, which are considered menstrual blood to be metame as nida, or that of what's coming out, if it's considered a vlad, a child, in regards to the tumah of leida, even if there's no blood, that's the discussion we were having. So, Vamra Vigidla Rabbi Yechon, it says, Hamapelis kimin afkosa de dikla. If a woman miscarries something, a mass that comes out like the branches of a palm tree, which the tree is just the trunk on the bottom, it's singular, and the branches out on the top. So, to this quote child, it was the same thing, that its hands and feet all came out only on the top of the child by its shoulder, but on the bottom it had no form, just a stick. So that says Rabbi Yechon imatayr. So the mother is tar because that's not considered a vlad to have the tuma of leida. Similarly, itma we learned hamapeles mishapanav musmasim. If a woman miscarries someone, a child, that his face is squashed a little bit, not as much as what we'll describe shortly as tuches, which is totally smooth, but it's like squashed. So Rabbi Yechon Amar Imitame says the mother is going to be Tame because it's considered a child, although it's deformed, but it's still a child. Shlakashama Imitari says, no, the mother is tar, it's not considered a child, quote unquote, to have the tumah of leida. Now, Ace Rabbi Yechon Rishlakash, Rabbi Yechon has some Rishlakash from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Hamapelas Yad Chatucha, the regal Chatucha, if a woman miscarries something that comes out like the form of a hand or the form of a leg, so Imitame leida, so the mother's going to have a tumah leida. Because we say that that came from a bona fide child, we see the hand or the foot. Ve'enchaychen shemem aguf atem basen, says the Braisa, we're not concerned that maybe it was from an underdeveloped child which wasn't fully a child, and that this is just the hand or the foot of that. No, it was a whole child, and we only got over here that came out was the hand or the foot. But says Rabbi Yechonon to Rish Lakish v'misa, and if it's correct like you're saying, then listening, the Braisa should have said, what are we not concerned about? It should have said, we're not concerned Shem and Muguf Atem, like it says, that maybe it's from an underdeveloped body. But it should have additionally said, according to you, that we're not concerned for that maybe the face was squashed. Because according to you, and that's another case that, yeah, it wouldn't be Tame. So you have to say, no, we're not concerned that it came from a Muguf Atem, and those that were concerned for Panam Musmasim. Obviously, it seems to say that the only thing we're concerned for, which we're not going to be concerned for, is Guf Atem. But Panam Musmasim would be Tame, like the way I say. So actually, Amar Papi, he says you're right. The fun of musmasin kulem leplegidetme, for as you see from this brisa, when the face is squashed, I mean there's some form, but it's squashed. There, no one's going to disagree that's going to create a tumav leida because it's considered a bona fide vlad. Ki plegi befun of tuches, their machlekes was regarding when the face is smooth, it had no form whatsoever, and actually veipchetmer was actually toward the exact opposite. Whereas Rashi points out, not because that was necessary to reinterpret the machlekes, rather that was actually his tradition he had from his teacher. And Rabbi Yechon Amar Imitahir, Rabbi Yechon says when the face is totally smooth, there's no form whatsoever on the face, then it's not considered a child, the mother's going to be tar. But Shlakash Amar Imitahir, Shlakash says, no, the mother's going to be tummy. Now, says the Gemara, but still, V'leis V'rishlakash Rabbi Yechon Meha. Now that's Rabbi Yechon who's saying that the case of the face being totally smooth is tar, so now Rish Lakish could ask from the same Braisa. It should have said that we're not concerned that it's from a Guf Atem, or if the face is totally smooth. So that says the Gemara, no, Mishum Deshan, like Rabbi Yechon would answer, Haina Guf Atem, Haina Mitcha Pan of Teiches. It's the same thing. The underdeveloped body is the same thing as when the face is totally smooth. It was never developed. And therefore, it didn't have to go through and delineate all the cases. It's the same idea. In contrast, by the first version, when they said the machlekes is when the face is musmas and just squashed, you couldn't give such an answer, and therefore the Gemara actually said that that's not the machlekes, because by musmasin, some of the form on the face is recognizable. It's not totally underdeveloped, and underdeveloped is like it's not there. There it is, and therefore you couldn't say, it should have said, according to that version, pon of musmasin, for the fact that it didn't. You said, you're right, everyone would agree that the ime would be tmeya, the machlekes was by pon of tuches, and it's not difficult why the Brisa doesn't mention that, because that's the same thing as gufatim. I think remembering the story that B'nai Reb Chiya Nafik Likriyasa. The sons of Reb Chiya went out to the villages, and after they came back home, Asli Kamei Davu, and they came in front of their father. So Amalehem, he said to them, Klumba Maisali Yetchem, did any story come to you while you were in the villages? Amalehem, they said to him, yes. Panam Tuches Bali Yedenu. We had a story where a woman asked us regarding a child that was born, that the face was totally smooth. B'temenu, and we said that she's Tameh because of Tumas Leida. So Amalahem, he said to them, Tzu v'tiru mashu tamesim. He says, go back and say that the woman is pure, she's tar, from this that you had said that she's tamei. Because my datech, what was your understanding, luchumer? You were being stringent. We just said it's a machlekes regarding if paneu is tuchais. So you were being stringent, and you said, okay, she's going to be tamei 2 weeks, because maybe that the child that was born was a girl, which then the tum of leda is 14 days. That's a stringency that's going to create a leniency, because since you're considering the mother that she gave birth to a child, then you're going to be giving the mother days of purity, at least the minimum of, let's say, even if it's a zachar of 33 days. And from the fact that you're going to be mitar, that dam is going to be inappropriate because maybe it's not a child. And maybe the blood that she's going to have during those days is actually dam nida. And therefore, go back and say that actually that she's tar, because you're creating a leniency inappropriately by the stringency that you're placing on. The Edmari learned, continuing on this theme, Hamapeles Beria, if a woman miscarries a creature, Sheeshla Beis Gabim Ubeis Shadrois. That is two backs and two spines. So it's a machlekes. Amarabi says, Beisha Ein Avlad, by a woman that's not considered a child, there's no tumav leda. And Bebehema Asa Bachila, and by an animal that if one slaughters the mother and finds this type of creature inside the womb, and for sure, if it comes out into the world, that's considered a nafel, it's not a viable a child of an animal, and it's in the vela. But even in the womb, it's going to be forbidden to be eaten. Now, Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, be'isha vlad, by a woman that is considered a child, it will be tumas later. And be'behema mutabachila, and by an animal, it's permitted to be eaten, like the pasuk says in Mikra Aleph. It says, kol be'behema tachila, whatever's in the animal you could eat, which means that whatever's found inside, as long as it has hooves, or split hooves or hooves, as the Gemara says in Chul Daf Tzadik Samach Tes Mabeis. Therefore, this creature too, although it has two backs and two spines, but it has split hooves and it's found inside the womb, it would be permitted to be eaten. Says the Gemara B'Maikam Mevlagi, regarding what do they disagree? Says the Gemara B'Drev Chan and Barab. Because Amr Rav Chan and Barab, he said, HaShasua, the Torah says the Shasua, which is a certain type of a creature, the Torah made forbidden. Like it says in Devarim Yadat, it says, this you shouldn't eat, and one of the items is HaShasua. Now, what is this shesua? It's a beria sheyesh la beis gabim beis shadrais. It's a creature that has two backs and two spines. So that everyone agrees to. Now, the question is, where do you find this creature? Rav Amar beria ba'al meles. He says, this creature is not in the world. There's no such creature out there. And when did Hashem teach to Moshe Rabbeinu that this shesua is going to be forbidden? That's when you find b'me'ima agmare. It was taught to him, if you find such a creature inside the womb of the mother, which is just that you could have any deformation inside the creature, that's what I was talking about, because in the world itself, you don't have such a creature. And therefore, he's saying that when you have two backs and two spines in the womb, it's going to be forbidden, because that's the shesua that Hashem was telling him is forbidden. Yet Shmuel Amar, Bari Baal Meisi, says, no, there is such a creature in the world. And therefore, when did Hashem teach to Moshe that the shesua is forbidden, meaning the two backs and two spines? That's Baal Me'agmer, that's in general in the world, that species is forbidden. But if you find b'me'ima, shari, but if you find such a deformity in the mother's womb, just like anything, any creature, as long as it has split hooves or hooves in the mother's womb, it's going to be kosher. And therefore, he said the two backs and two spines in the womb is going to be permitted. Now, however, Eisvei Rav Shimi Barchiya l'Rav. Rav Shimi Barchiya asked to Rav in the following braisa. Rav Chanina ben Atignes Eimer, he says, Kol sheishli beis gabin v'shnei shedrois, this case, a creature that has two backs and two spines, pasal avayda. Talking about a bechor, a firstborn animal, it's forbidden to be brought as a carbon. Where? Because that's considered a mum, it's considered a blemish. Now, from the inference that we're saying, but that this only is that it's invalid as a carbon, says that alma dechai, obviously that such an animal survives, and it's viable, it just can't be brought as a carbon. Now, the inference is that for a hedyot, for a regular person, it's permitted to be eaten. So therefore, this b'raisa is difficult on both Rav and Shmuel. Because from here, from this b'raisa, you see clearly that even when it comes out of the womb, when it's in the world, it's permitted. It's only forbidden as a carbon. Even Shmuel, who is the more lenient one, says permitted to be eaten was only in the mother's womb, as we just explained why he says like that, and that was once it comes out. Now, then why did Rav Shimi specifically ask the question to Rav and not on Shmuel? It's simply because Rav was around him, because Rav Shimi was Rav's grandson. As the Gemara says in Chulin Daf Kofi Rav Mabez, the Rav went to the house of Rav Shimi Bachiyah, who was his grandson. So therefore he asked it to him, but it's difficult on both of them. So Amalei, so Rav responded to him. He says, Shimiat, you're Shimi. Which many times in Shas we find that Rav responded to Rav Shimi like that by saying Shimiat. So Rashi says it appeared to him because since it was his grandson, so because if it was dear to him, he was saying, "Oh, you're a Shimi. Oh, you got a good question. That's a good question. You're a Shimi. I know you." Rashi says he heard another interpretation that was actually because of the modesty of Rav that he would never pick up his eyes. So he didn't recognize him. Therefore he says, oh, are you Shimi? But Rashi says that doesn't seem appropriate because you don't find Rav saying that to any other person besides to him. And you find that he says this to many other places here in Menachos. Another interpretation, he says he heard because Shimi was sharp and it was pressing him, as we find that elsewhere the Gemara says, someone says, Hashem save us from the embarrassment of Rav Shimi because he had sharp quotes, and Rashi says that's not the case, because that Gemara over there is Rav Shimi Barashi, who was being difficult to Rav Papa, and here it's not Rav Shimi, it's Rav Shimi Bar Chia. So there it's not the same person. So they're saying, Shimi, you got a good question. But he said to him, it's not difficult, because this teaching of Rav Chanina, that sounds like that this creature does survive, which is not like Rav and Shmuel, that were saying that both of them agree that it's Nevelo or Nefel once it comes out. It's not too much literally that there's two backs and two spines. No, such a creature does not survive. Rather, it's Sheshadrase Akuma. The spine is bent and it looks like two. And that's the creature that he was talking about. Yeah, that is only forbidden as a carbon, but it would be permitted for a hedyot even when it's out there in the world. Now, Mesavid, the Gemara continues asking on Shmuel from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Yeshbu Baran, there are certain fetuses that once it comes out into the world, Shein Asurin, that they're forbidden to be eaten as an avela, as an animal that was that's not properly slaughtered, like a dead animal, which are Ben Arbola Daka, small livestock, which usually its gestation period, it's the pregnancy is for 5 months, if it's only 4 months for a small livestock, or Ben Shemayin Lagaso, or by large livestock, which usually go 9 months, instead was born in 8 months. And so to Himenu Lamata Asr, and less than that is also going to be forbidden because it's considered Nevela, it didn't fully develop. Says the Braisa, Yatza Mishi Eshle Shnei Gabin Ushnei Shadrais. And excluded from this is a creature that has two backs and two spines. Says Gemara, Ma Yatza, what are we saying is excluded from this? Lav Yatza Mechlalu Baran isn't being excluded from these fetuses that we were speaking about, where these fetuses, we said, when they're not fully developed, we said they're forbidden. Now, but we said that these fetuses, even though they're not fully developed, it's only when they're coming out into the world, when they're born, then we're saying that then they're going to be forbidden. But the inference is, in the womb, then they would be permitted. And what are we saying? But we're excluding this of the Shnei Gavim and Shnei Shadrois, Shafilib Me'imen Asurin, that even in the mother's womb they're forbidden. Which that's difficult on Shmuel, where Shmuel said in the womb, the Shnei Gavim and Shnei Shadrois is actually permitted. So the Gemara says, Rav Matar Satameh, B'Shmuel Matar Satameh. Both Rav and Shmuel explain the Braisa according to their opinions. Rav Matar Satameh, Rav explains according to his reasoning, where, as Rashi explains, what do you mean? The question was only difficult on Shmuel, not on Rav. Rav doesn't have to explain this, the reason why the Gemara does say that he explains is because the wording, however, seems to be difficult, because the Reisha, the Braisa, seems to say that we're talking about the Issa Nevela of these creatures that weren't fully developed. When they come out into the world, then they're forbidden. Now, the Sefer then says that Yatza, but we're excluding this creature that has two backs and two spines, sounds like it's going on the Reisha. If that's the case, then it would seem to be saying that we're saying that when these creatures come out, they're forbidden, and we seem to be excluding, but if it has two backs and two spines, when it comes out, that it's going to be permitted. But that you can't say, because both Rav and Shmuel agree, even Shmuel, that once it comes out to the world with two backs and two spines, it's for sure forbidden. So therefore, Rav himself also has to amend the Braisa and add on words. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that Rav also has to explain as follows. Ben arba ladaka, ben ches lagasa, when it's only a four-month-old fetus for a small livestock, or 8 months for a large livestock, say men lamata asa. That age and younger, it's not fully developed, it's forbidden, it's like an avela. But medvam murim, and when did we say this? Kishiyot slavar oilam, when it came out into the ear space of the world, when it was born. Avol b'me'ima yishari. These are the words you have to add on. This was the way we were understanding it all along, but you have to add on those words because we have to explain what yatza means to say. But in the mother's womb, it's permitted because, like it says in the pasuk, kol b'me'ima teichelu, as the Gemara says, v'chol naf samach tesemanav, whatever is inside the mother's womb is going to be permitted and it has split over, so it's going to be permitted. And that was what it said in the Braisa, yatza mishesh leshnei gebin v'shnei shedrois, that we're excluding if it has two backs and two spines, that fell b'me'ima nami aser, which that's the opinion of Rav, which was the question we had asked on Shmuel, and just that now we clarified how to read the Braisa, where there, even the mother's womb is going to be forbidden. Because, as we explained, Rav holds that when the Torah says that the Shesua is forbidden, since there's no such a species on by itself, it was obviously talking about in the womb of the mother, that even then it's going to be forbidden. That's the way Rav reads the Braisa. That's Ketintam and Bey, the Shmuel Metaritz L'Tamidi. Shmuel explains the Braisa according to his reasoning, and he explains that actually both the Reisha and the Sefer are both talking about when it's Yatzalav or Oilam. that when it came out into the ear space. And he reads it as follows. Ben arba ladaka ben shmoin legasa, when it's only 4 months for a small livestock or 8 months for a large livestock, heman ilmata asa. From that age and younger, it didn't fully develop, it's forbidden. Bamed vamum, when did we say this? What's the qualifying factor the Bryce is saying? Is bishli kol lechadashav, which is integral in what we were just saying. If it didn't fully develop, it only reached 4 months, only reached 8 months. Avokal lechadashav, and this is what Yatz is going to be going on. Avokal lechadashav mutter, but if it did fully develop, then yeah, it's like a regular fetus that's born, it's not a nevela, and it's going to be permitted. And that is what the Bryce was saying according to Shmuel. Yatz mishti yeshli beiz gabin the beiz shedrois. That excludes if it's born with two backs and two spines. Now, avagav to kol lechadashav, where even if it's fully developed, it reached to the full 5 months or the full 9 months, still it's going to be a nafel, a non-viable child, because it's not going to survive. And if it's like a nevela, and that is im yotzla avro ailam asa, it's going on, because according to Shmuel, it's only told about yotzla avro ailam, both the Reish and the Sefer. That's if it came out to the ear space of the world, that's going to be asa as a nevela, like we said, as a nafel. But in the mother's womb, it's going to be permitted. Again, as we said, that Shmuel holds that the case of Shesuah is a species. But in the womb of the mother, it's going to be permitted. And therefore, that's how Shmuel explains the Brisa. Tani Tana Kameh de Rav. There's a teacher of Brisa that said the following Brisa in front of Rav. Hamepeles berias guf she'en chatech. If a woman miscarries a creature that has a body that's not formed, that's not cut, or Brias Reisha in the Chatech, or it's a creature of a head that's not cut. I mean to say, it's all intact like a board, and there's no what's called Chitech Evam, there's no form of limbs or any form at all. It's just totally smooth like a round ball. So says the Braisa, Yochel Tehei Imoy Temei Leida, you would think that the mother would have a Tomas of Leida because there's a child being born. Says the Braisa, no, Tamalem the Pasuk says, Yikra, Isha Kisazri, a woman that's going to conceive, Vyolda Zachar Begrimer, she's going to give birth to a boy, etc. So the next Pasuk says, on the 8th day is when you do the circumcision. Now the inference is that a child that's fit to live 8 days, Misharola Brish Shmaina, someone that's fit to have the covenant on the 8th day, that's where the mother's going to have a Tomah of Leida. But if the child's not fit to live to the 8th day to the covenant, to the bris milah, to the circumcision, then yatsu elush en roin lebris minah. Then for the halacha of the tamav of leida, you're not going to have for a child that's not fit to live to the 8th day, and therefore here where this board of a child is not going to live that long, therefore that doesn't have the halacha of tamav leida. The amli rav, so rav said to the one who taught this brisa, b'sayim b'hachi, and conclude the brisa by saying that you're excluding from here v'shiyesh l'shnei gabin l'shnei shadrois, that if it has two backs and two spines, like we said in the previous brisa, which we're saying that there it's not going to be considered as a vlad at all, according to Rav. Now the Gemara brings a story that Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Sava lemeber ubda kavasei de Shmuel. He thought to do like Shmuel in regards to this case that was Machlegas Rav and Shmuel, when there's two backs and two spines, to be stringent like Shmuel and say that it is a child, and to say that the woman is going to have Tumas Leida, even if it's a dry birth that there's no dam coming with it, because, like Shmuel said, it is considered a child. On that, Amalei Rav Huna, he says, my daitach, what's your understanding? Lo chumra, you thought you're going to be stringent and give the woman a halach of Tumah? But chumra da'as l'day kulahu, that's a stringency that brings to a leniency, because t'kehavis lo d'mei tar, because then you're going to be saying that the next days after that are going to have all the blood that comes out is going to be tar, like it is by a leda. Although at first it's stringency, but then it comes out to be leniency. So rather, no, oven mi'a kavasei the Rav, you should do like Rav, because the kaimalon hilchasek Rav b'isuri, the halacha is, we have that the halacha like Rav by regarding prohibitory law, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, whether it's leniency, whether it's stringency, and therefore do not consider it as a child, don't give her any tumah, and then don't give her any yimei tar. Now the Gemara continues with something that will relate back to the brisa we brought just before, that Amar Rava, he says, Hare Amr, they said that Isha yaledis latisha, but yaledis l'shiva. A woman could give birth to full term of 9 months, or it could be full term of 7 months. In Talmudic times, that was what was the norm was, that a woman could give birth in either one or the other. So that's what he says. I'm going to say also that the same thing is behemagasa, yaledis latisha. We know large livestock, large animals, they give birth after 9 months. Like we said before, that when it's a large animal, if it's only born in 8 months, that's considered a nafel, non-viable child. So he says, so would you say the same thing over here, yaledis l'shiva, that also could be full term for a large animal after 7 months, just like for a human being? Aloyaldo, or maybe not. Meaning, do we consider the child born in 7 months as a nafel, or it's not a nafel, and it would be permitted just by a human being, that actually the 8 month is actually non-viable, but 7 or 9 is? Do you say the same thing is for an animal? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Tashma, it's being arrived from the Brisa we brought before. The Brisa said, 8 months for a large animal or 4 months for a small animal are forbidden. It's not fully developed. It's like a nevela. But hemen elamata asa, and below that is going to be forbidden too. So my lavagasa, isn't that going also on the case of the large animal, which we learned that 8 months for a large animal, and it's saying, and below that, which includes also the 7 months, is going to be forbidden. So you see that the large animal is not like a human being. So it's like, no, not a raya, adaka. It could be going only on the other case of the small livestock, which is said when they're developed only to 4 months, it's going to be asur. And that was saying, and below 4 months, like if it lived only up to, only born after 3 months, that's going to be forbidden. Says Gemara, "Hi, Mai." Well, then, how would we understand the brisa? Iam b'shlem agasa itzroch. If you're saying it's going on the large livestock, we would understand that it's necessary to say this halacha. Kasaka deitach min. You would have thought to say, "Ha'yilu b'ishachai." Since by a woman, by a human being, there actually it does survive. Like we said, 9 months or 7 months, not eight, that it does survive. So b'behema na mechai. So you would say, "Oh, an animal also would survive, not only nine but also seven." So we would understand you would have to say that no, 8 months and 7 months also doesn't survive. But if you were trying to interpret and saying it's only going into small livestock, pshita, obvious, why would the Brice have to tell us this? Do you think that an animal born after 3 months would survive? Says Gemara, yeah, it's it was necessary to say this. Why? So you would think to say, kol betzir trei yarchi, any creature that's born 2 months less than when it normally is born, chai, it would survive just like by a woman. A woman usually gives birth after 9 months. But the halacha is that after 7 months, 2 months less than what's usual, it's actually a different type of truncated full term. So I would say by a large animal also, it would survive after 7 months, because it's 2 months less than what it normally is. And so to 3 months by a small livestock, even by 4 months it wouldn't survive, 3 months it actually would. That's what the Rashi is teaching, specifically Vidaka, that could be the interpretation that it wouldn't survive, but could be by a large animal it would. Now, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, Hamapeles demus lilis. If a woman miscarries a form like that of lilis, which is a female demon, which the Shadim, they have the form of a person and they have wings. So if there's a child that's born like that, even to melee, the woman is going to have a tumah of giving birth because Vladu, it's a child. Because it has the form of a human being, it just has wings. So this is wings. So but therefore it's going to be considered tumah laid. Tana Mocha, similar in the Brisa, Amar B'Yisi says, Maisa B'Simayni, it was an incident in Simayni. Ba'acha She'pila Demus Lilis, a woman that miscarried a form like that of Lilis. Ova Maisa L'Vnei Chacham V'Amar, the story came in front of the sages, and they said, Vladu, Elish Shishle K'nefayim, it's a child that just has wings. Hamapeles Demus Nochash, a woman that miscarries a form of a snake. So Hari Chanina Ben Ochav Shal Rabbi Yeshua, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, Chanina, he taught that he said the halach is ima tumei leida. The mother is going to have a tumma of a birth. It's considered a child. So halach Rabbi Yisa besibar devam lefnei Rabbi Galil. So Rabbi Yisa went and he said over this pesak of Chanina in front of Rabbi Galil. So shalach lai Rabbi Yeshua, he sent to Rabbi Yeshua, who was the uncle, hanik ben achichova, go take your nephew and come with him. When they were on their way, the daughter-in-law of Chanina came towards Rabbi Yeshua, and Amrle, she said to him, Rabbi, my teacher, Hamapeles kimei nachash mahu. If a woman miscarries the form of like a snake, what's the halacha? So Amrle, he said to her, Imei tahar, the mother's tahar. It's not considered vlad. So Amrle, so she said to him, Valoi mishmecha Amrle chamaisi, but in your name, my mother-in-law told me that imei tamei, that you said that the mother's going to be tamei, it is considered like a vlad. So v'amalam, he said to her, Me'ezitam, for what reason? What reasoning did she give that I said it would be considered a tumah of a vlad? So she said that my mother-in-law said, you said, because since the eyeball of the snake is round like that of a human being, so it's similar to a human being, and if it's considered for tumah of vlad. So when she was talking, Rabbi Yeshua recalled that she's right. He did say that was the reason, and therefore it's tamei. So he sent Rabbi Galil, you don't have to call my nephew with me. Mipi Hari Chanina. It was from me that my nephew Chanina had taught the halacha that it's true that I was the one who said that if someone's in my palace kibin nachash, the ima is going to be tameya, because I do consider it like a vlad, because it has the same type of eyeballs like a human being. So Amabai says, Shmamina, what we could learn from this story is that Subim Rabbanan, the Amin Milsa, Tamaruk Kal, that says a halacha concept, Lema Bataima, he should say his reasoning, the Chimatkur Le Mitkur, so that when they remind him, he should be able to recall, because he thought he held that it was Tar. When they remind him his rationale, he was able to recall, and therefore he should say it so that they should be able to remind him of his Pesach halacha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme of this parak of Hamapelas. Hamapelish shvir moli maim. If a woman miscarries an embryo that's filled with water, so therefore the embryo is like the sac of the skin, and inside is usually the inside of a human being, but it's filled with water, or moli dam, or filled with blood, or moli genunim, or full of different colors. So in the chesheshes levad, then the woman doesn't have to be concerned that that was a child, and there's no tumah v'leda. Now v'mayim merukim, but if the child was somewhat developed, where there is somewhat of a form, teisha lezach on the keva, we're just not sure as it was what the gender is. So then, stringently, she has to have the mei tuma of nekeva and the mei tara only of zacha, which is the stringency of both sides. Contains the mishnah mapela sandal. A woman miscarries a sandal, which a sandal is that the face is like deformed, it's like pushed away. Now, the concept of a sandal is because of another fetus inside the womb that actually caused that disruption in the face of this original fetus, which is called the sandal. Now, because of the sandal, we're saying, as the Mishnah is going to conclude, the woman has to sit for the meitum and tara of a zachar in the keva, because we're not sure what the sandal is, a zachar in the keva. Now, if the other child, which we're saying automatically, a sandal always has to have another fetus, was a girl, so then the fact of the sandal, says Rashi, wouldn't make a difference at all, because you're ultimately going to be having the halachas of Nekeva of Yimei Tum and Tara anyway, because even if the sandal is a zachar, since there's a girl with that zachar, so you're not going to have less than the 14 days of Tumah anyways of a girl, and you'll anyways have the Yimei Tara of a girl, which is longer from that of a zachar. So the element of the zachar is already absorbed in the element of the halachas of a girl. Says Rashi, rather this that the Mishnah is going to tell us regarding when if she miscarries a sandal, that she's going to have the days astringently of a zachar and a keva, is for example if the second child is a boy. But then you're going to give the stringency of a tumah of an akeva because of the sandal, and the limitation of the meitar of a zachar because of the other one, stringently to have the halachas of the sandal, because we don't know what it is, you'll have to go with the stringency of the meitumah of a akeva. So that's if she miscarries a sandal, a shilya, or an afterbirth, where the concept is that we know that when there's afterbirth, it means that it must have been a child, we just don't know what it was. So teisha v'zach in the keva, so then you have to have stringently that of a girl or a boy, which is the days of the tumah of a girl are more stringent, the days of tara of a boy are more stringent, which is less, so therefore, since we don't know what it is, you have to have the stringent aspects of both of them. So asking on the ratio of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, bishlim adamamayim, we understand that when she miscarries the embryo of the child that's just filled with blood and water, so you understand loy klomi. That's not significant. It's nothing. It's not a child. It's just a sack full of blood and water. But regarding that, if it's full with different colors, then we should be concerned that maybe that was a child that just dissolved. And therefore, since there's no blood over here and there's not water, so what are these elements? Maybe it was the dissolution of the child that was inside. And maybe it was a child. And maybe there should be the tumah of leda. So the Gemara gives a few answers. Amabaya says, "Kamayain chai shasas imoy shal zeh." How much raw wine, would undiluted wine, would this mother of this element have to have drunk? Shenimoych ubri b'tech me'ah, that the fetus inside her womb should have dissolved to that type of an extent. I mean, he's exaggerating. He's saying, how could it be that there was such a child and have dissolved to that extent? If it's obvious, not a child. Rav Amahi says, no, the inference is because molitna. It says that if the child's full with colors, I mean, the sac, the embryo, is filled with this liquid. Now, if you would think to say that it was a child that just dissolved, so it would be lacking because the solid, when it dissolves, wouldn't fill up the whole sac. Since it's full, obviously it was just this liquids and it wasn't a dissolved child. Rav Adar Bar Hava, he says a different inference. It says, gevanim tnan. It says that's filled with different colors in the plural. If you think it was a child that dissolved, it would have been a uniform color. But in fact, it's different colors. Obviously, it's something else. It's not a child. Now, related to the first interpretation of Abaya regarding the drinking of wine, what it would do to this to the fetus. He says, I was a burier of dead people. I would look at the bones of the dead people when I was involved in my job. So he says, Hashesa yain chai, I said, I saw that those who drank undiluted wine, which relates to this concept of the dangers of drinking undiluted wine on the embryo and also regarding the person's own body. So that's Maisav Sruf, and I saw that his bones were burnt. Mazuk, if it was over-diluted, the wine. Atzmaisav Sichuin, he says, I saw that the bones were either black or that they were out narrow without lubrication, and they were dry. Karo, if you drank the right type of wine, meaning properly diluted, not to one of the other way, of the extreme, that's Maisa Meshuchin, and I saw his bones were lubricant. So someone that drank more than what he ate, that's Moisif Srufin, his bones were burnt. Achalasim Rubim Shtiyas, if he drank more than what he ate more than he drank, that's Moisif Sechuyin, his bones were black. Karo, if he had the right balance of eating and drinking, that's Moisif Meshruchin, and his bones were moist, that they were well lubricated. Similarly, Tanya Lent Nebraisa, again, Abba Shalom, he says, Vitem Simsev is actually Rabbi Yechanan, says, Kaiver Mesa Meisi, I was one who buried the dead. And Pamachas Ratzti Achad Svi, which is one of those the Gemaras that are related to the greater depths of Kabbalah over here in this story, where it's a mystical understanding generally that is interpreted, Pamachas Ratzti Achad Svi. One time I ran after a deer, but Nechnasti B'Koyle Shal Mesa, so I entered into the thigh bone of a dead person, V'Ratzti Achav Sholish Parsayas, and I ran after him for 3 Parsayas, which is a huge distance. The tzvilo hegati, I didn't even reach the deer. The koilus hakalsa, and the thigh bone didn't even end. I was running in this thigh bone. Keshechazart lachay, when I was coming back, Amrili, they said to me, Shal Oig Melech HaBashan Haisa. This bone from Oig, the king of Bashan, who was a giant in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanya Lund Nabrai said to Abba Shol Oimra, another incident, he says, Kaiver Mesamisi, he said, I was the barrier of the dead. Pamachas niftucha ma'or tachtin. One time, a cave opened up beneath me. V'amadti begalgal einer shel meis adchot min. I was standing in the eyeball of a dead person up until my nose. K'shechazarti la'achari amr, when I was coming back, they said to me, ayin shel Avshalom, it was the eye of Avshalom, which obviously refers to the insatiability of the eye, and therefore he was up till his nose in that eye. Now, b'shemetem Avshalom nanasav, and maybe you're going to say, yeah, because he was a midget, therefore he was up to his nose in his eye. No, Avshalom aruch b'dori haba. Avshalom was actually the tallest in his generation. And moreover, Reb Tarfon Megilik Sefer, Reb Tarfon, who is, we're going to shortly say, and all of them accordingly, was very tall. He only reached up to Abba Shaul's shoulders. Now, Reb Tarfon Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Reb Tarfon was the tallest in his generation. Reb Meir Megilik Sefer, Reb Meir reached to his shoulder. Now, Reb Meir Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Reb Meir was the tallest in his generation. Rebbe Megillik Seifa, and Rebbe only reached to his shoulder. Rebbe Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Rebbe was the tallest in his generation. Rebbe Chi Megillik Seifa, and Rebbe reached to his shoulder. Now Rebbe Chi Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Rebbe Chi was the tallest in his generation. Rav Megillik Seifa, and Rav only reached to his shoulder. Rav Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Rav was the tallest in his generation. Rabbi Yehuda Megillik Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda reached only to his shoulder. Rabbi Yehuda Aruch B'Dar HaVen, Rabbi Yehuda was the tallest in his generation. Va'ada Dayala, who his name was Adam, but like the one who draws, he was the attendant of the rabbis, Megillik Seifa reached up into his shoulder. And as we continue in the time of Chofayim and Alf, Parsh Tevina, who is the name of the person, the Pumbadisa from Pumbadisa, Koyle La Adda Dayala Ad Palki, he only reached up until half of the height of Adda Dayala. And Vakuliyama and the rest of the world, Koyle Le Parsh Tevina, the Pumbadisa Ad Charzei. And although he was only halfway of Adda Dayala, the rest of the world only reached up till the loins, which is the lower part of the person's body, by the waist area, up until that part of Parshtivna, the Pumbadisa, so showing the great height from one generation where it keeps on descending down and down. So we see that Avshalom actually was very tall, but the eye of Avshalom, obviously, in this metaphorical narrative, was actually very, very tall, and therefore he came up to his nose in the eyeball of Avshalom.